Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the match preview show ahead of Nottingham Forest versus Liverpool. I'm Steve Hall, delighted to be joined by John Reid and Sam Walker. Straight off the bat, recording this at 10:30 a.m. on Friday. We have not yet heard from Jurgen Klopp in his press conference. Injury updates, of which we are expecting, hopefully, loads of positive news. So yeah, we are a little bit blind, so just bear that in mind. If something's a little bit dated, like we don't know who is and isn't going to be available, and there's loads of them, Sam. We've just been speaking off air, don't we? And having said that, it's one of those games where it appears that our lads at least close to getting back. We'll find out who is and isn't available. It feels like they're going to the well one more time, once more in the league, and then obviously got the Europa League before City. It's a massive game for us, really. We don't know who we're going to have, who we're not going to have, but whoever is available, it's just, can you go one more? Can you give that one final little bit of effort? Because Liverpool go to Forest needing 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you say going to the well. Actually, we were quite fortunate because midweek, a few of them didn't play any part at all. The lads were either rested or maybe had a little knock and couldn't make it. But the likes of Robbo, Diaz, for instance, didn't play any part, so which was great because a few of them are fully recovered and, you know, their lads won't all be the same. But it feels like it's one more big push because obviously the Europa League's two legs, so you can always deal with the second leg when it comes before City. But at the same time, it's really important, this game, because you can't just go into a City game going, oh, we've got four or five lads back now, go and play. It's like, they need to play games of football, they need minutes in the legs, they need successes to feed off into that game to get the energy up. But the other side of that is we've got this group of players that at the moment feel like they can't do any wrong. The confidence is really high. They've achieved the unachievable, really, by winning a cup final in the way they did and then going and delivering it again against a very good Southampton team. So I think in terms of energy, morale, confidence, they'll be right where they need to be.
I suppose as well, John, it has been a strange week, really, emotional, like maybe what you call it, about 10 days or so. You know, the Luton game comes, obviously, then we have the cup final, which in itself is crazy. Then they have a very positive night, albeit a very up and down night against Southampton. It has been a bit of a roller coaster for everybody involved, including the manager. You could tell the other day, like I said, was a bit like, you know, frazzled. He was all over the place after the Southampton game, where Liverpool relied on the academy lads to get the job done. It does feel like obviously there's going to be some of them involved in the squad, you would think. It'd be a shock if there wasn't. But this is a different kettle of fish. You know, Forest away under Nuno is a different kettle of fish than Southampton at home in the cup, or throwing lads on for 5-10 minutes at the end of a game or whatever, or even the cup final. It's a different experience to play in against great players, but who've already got 90 minutes worth of running in the legs. Like, it is a different kettle of fish going away to Nottingham Forest, the team fighting for their lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different test, as you say, isn't it? It's like, you know, their ground's a bit of a bear pit, and that's where they're strongest, really. You know, they perform well. They don't always necessarily win the games at home, obviously, but like they perform well when they're at their ground. So it's a different test, and if you are one of those kids, you know, I'd almost excuse, say, Harvey Elliott from that, because, you know, I think you'd probably class him as part of the senior squad, even though given his age. But for some of the other lads, you know, like if you have sort of like a tough 10 minutes, or if you haven't got that encouragement, because, you know, you've had the game at Wembley, which felt like a home game, to be honest, and then obviously the game at Anfield, you might struggle a bit. And it's striking that balance, isn't it, between having lads who are in good form or who are maybe, you know, feel like they've got the platform to sort of go on and give it again, but also not putting lads out there who maybe might freeze or you lose all that sort of good work, you know, if you like, by sort of putting them out one game too much and stuff, and then they struggle. So it can be a difficult game, and I think the other thing to consider with Forest as well, just purely on like the standpoint of some of the lads who he might have available, it's just the physicality of them. You know, they're not the biggest team in the league, but they are a very physical team in terms of, you know, they're very athletic and they've got a few big lads and stuff. So, you know, you might want to change personnel if you can, just based on sort of, you don't want an 18-year-old lad coming up against some of the people they're going to put on the pitch.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Forest for a bit, Sam. Obviously, we saw the other day they got beaten pretty much extra time, injury time, by Man United in the cup. Before that,
they were unlucky as well. That was a dodgy goal.
Yeah, maybe, absolutely. They had a decent win against West Ham. They took Arsenal right to the wire at home fairly recently as well. They had that loss against Aston Villa away, but their home form is what's kind of kept them just about above water. They're still facing this sanction as well, and all accounts, if 6 points is going to be the new norm, you know, Forest are only 4 points above the drop zone at the moment, and Luton have got a game in hand on them. They are fighting for their lives. There's every chance that they lose 6 points and they're right that bang in a bit of a dogfight as well. It's a, you know, going away from home to a team scrapping for their lives. Liverpool have found that actually quite difficult at times, even Luton this season. It hasn't always been plain sailing. They, you know, they beat Burnley and they beat Sheffield United, but they weren't exactly, you know, Liverpool didn't batter either of them. It took very late goals just to put the icing on the cake in those games. These are games that the Reds have found tough for a couple of years now, going away from home to teams who are really scrapping. Are you expecting the same again?
No, I suppose. I think the 3 o'clock kickoff plays a part. There's no sort of media showdown to it under the light. It's going to be a game that just sort of goes on with the, you know, in the blackout, which is just, and I always think that suits us. We just play the game. Everyone has to catch up with the results later, unless you're watching from a foreign country, obviously. And I just think that it's weird because I think the players and manager pay so much little attention to those kind of things than we do. We sit here going, "Oh, we struggle against these teams." I don't think they care. I think they just look at the next game, and maybe they'll be planning a few games ahead. They're not looking back, going, "Oh, we got beat by these last year." Klopp will know we didn't win the game, and if anything, it'll do his head in a bit more, a bit like it did with Brentford. But I think the reality of it is they'll be looking at the game, the players. They'll have got through Southampton and be looking at this one on its own, independently. So I don't think we struggle against these teams. I think what we've not done is took our chances, and we've been unlucky, like away at Burnley. We should have been 2-3-0 up in that game, but we got absolutely had off by the officials. I think Luton was just a bad game. Sheffield United, again, we wasted opportunity, and then they got back in the game a bit before we got our goal. But that's the same in a lot of games. We've done that away in the likes of West Ham as well before. We've gone 1-0 up and then we've ended up getting a late goal. I think what does help us in this game is that Forest aren't that great a footballing team. They're playing busted flushes. We're going to press them and we're probably going to take the ball off them a lot in their own half. So what they'll either do is go long, and we've got two fantastically large, really good in the air centre-backs, or we'll take the ball off them at their end and punish. Where have we been caught out with Forest before? Set pieces. We've just got to manage that.
And also the counter-attack is something that you probably have to worry about as well. They have got pace on the break. Alanga, Gibbs, White, Awoniyi, maybe Divock, not so much pace, but in terms of goal threat for them, it does feel like they are struggling per se for goals, obviously, but they're down there with some of the lower scorers, John, but also they have all of those players there are more than capable of scoring a goal. You know, there are some teams you come up against. I thought this against Burnley, I was like, who's going to score? Yeah. Sheffield United, was like, genuinely, I can't see a world where one of them gets on the score sheet. Who's going to grab that goal for them? With Nottingham Forest, there are lads there against Tyo's a perfect example. He scored recently as well. He obviously gets the winner last time we played them at their place. They do feel like a team who at least carry players who you think, yeah, he's got a goal in.
Yeah, it's still all been about spot building and cohesion, I think, for them, hasn't it? It's like, when you look at sort of, you know, like the goal scorers and stuff, it's all sort of single figures. Like, I don't know, you're saying Chris Wood's injured, but, you know, they've all scored. Is the point that sort of front four they put out all get goals in games. So it's just if they can knit something together. And as you say, like, the one that sort of, the two that sort of frighten me, and that I think is probably Awoniyi, just in terms of his physicality, but also Alanga in terms of his pace, because he's so quick on the break, and he's really tidy with the ball at his feet. So in terms of just setting something up, or even if he just gets like a foul, and he made sort of 20-30 yards. But it's if they can do it. It's like, I think they've really, you know, obviously it sort of plays into the sort of potential sanctions in terms of points and stuff, but that squad is just so, I don't even want to say it's bloated, it's just such a mishmash of like players you do signed, and there's lots of players in there who you think, like, I'm surprised he's playing there, or, you know, like Hudson-Odoi and stuff, like players.
Origi.
You know, players who've had like sort of big moments sort of in the careers and stuff, but then when you sort of seeing them week in week out, the sort of 5 out of 10 maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's, they've got all those sort of like rough gems, if you like, that could sort of do something, and like I'm potentially, you know, could short 1 week and sort of be brilliant, and then the next week just do nothing.
Absolutely. Then it's explained by this, obviously the top scorers, this, we think Chris Wood's injured by all accounts, he looks like he's not going to be back for this one. He's got 9 goals in all comps, but then they've got Taiwo, who's got 6, Alanga's got 5, Gibbs White's got 4, Hudson-Odoi's got 4. That's what I'm saying, they're not massive prolific goal scorers, but they're all lads you think, oh yeah, he's got a goal in him, and that's kind of shown by that list really. Chris Wood's the exception, and you got 9, 3 of those came in one game against Newcastle. It's worth saying the lads use the little bits of moments, but like we saw last year, they only needed that one against us, or one, you know, got that goal, they beat us. I think Liverpool should take heart from the fact that their centre backs are playing so well.
Yeah,
as that's probably the difference here between this year and last season, where you'd expect hopefully Van Dijk and Ibu Konate would be able to deal more with that, with the pace and the power that Nottingham Forest pose, because we feel a little bit more equipped to deal with that than perhaps we did like 12 months ago.
Absolutely, and it feels like, you know, across the back line and including the goalkeeper, we feel strong at the moment. Obviously Kelleher's in good form, which is great. Obviously Alisson's out at the moment, but the rest of them bar Trent are all there, you know, contributing, and all contributing well as well, whoever's playing. Even Tsimikas played, what was it, 90 minutes the other day, and contributed to the game in the end. So I feel like when you're in a situation like this where you're struggling a bit and your squad's a bit touched up, you want your defensive area of the pitch to be solid, because you can score a goal and win a game 1-0. You know what I mean? You can get a scrappy own goal in a game and win 1-0 or whatever it may be. But I think if that's where your problems are, you've got big issues, because as soon as you're under the cosh, that's when it all unfolds. But I find, and it's not just defensively, set pieces now, Van Dijk seems to be a real threat. And he's not just scoring goals. He scored 2 in a cup final that, in my opinion, should have stood 1 did. He scored against Luton, and he should have scored another one against Luton. The goalkeeper makes a fantastic save. But he's a big threat. Konate is a big threat, and we've got other lads in there. And I think, so at both ends of the pitch, we're going to be a problem for Forest. I don't think their goalkeeper's up to much either, which helps. He's not very good. He makes a lot of mistakes.
They had Turner in goal for the cup, but then they did sign Sells. But like,
who's he?
They tried to sign Kelleher.
Yeah, exactly.
They were desperate for a goalkeeper, and you are right. Goalkeeper Nuno knows goalies. He used to be one.
He's the goalie.
It has been a major issue for them. That is right, Sam. Like, they got rid of Turner. They were desperate for anyone. They ended up going to get Sells, who's been, you know, he hasn't exactly lit the world alight either. Mm. You know, they went from Keylor Navas a year or so ago, where they had a good goalie. This year they have really struggled in that department. So you are right. Liverpool, a team whoever plays get plenty of shots off, that should give them some encouragement.
Just add one thing, because I'm sure John's got loads of input on this as well, but one of the things, I think we're going to press them. They're not going to want to play football. They might try and bits and bobs, but they're going to go long. Do you remember in the cup final, one of the things, I thought Endo was unbelievable in the cup final, and what he started to do really well is pick up the ball in the space right in front of the centre half, where the ball spills off a header or it just doesn't quite reach the centre half. He picks up the ball. He did against Brentford, and we got a goal from it. That's going to be really important in this game. Hopefully Endo's fit, because that's what they are. They are, get the ball up high, either beyond the centre backs and in between the fullbacks, or get it up to a 1-year Wood and work from him. If Endo can occupy that space, it takes a lot of what they can do away from us, because that's how they'll get out, is by going long and hopefully winning something.
Absolutely. It looks like they're going to be without Chris Wood. He's got a thigh injury.
Anyone else missing?
Tavares is probably out as well.
Yeah.
And then Bowley and Sinaga.
Isn't that Chelsea's owner? Is he playing footy now? He's been trying like him as well.
Willie Bowley, yeah. He's potential. He's probably going to sign himself. And then Sangare is touch and go. So they're thereabouts. They're definitely without, it looks like, Tavares and Anya, according to the Premier injuries. Again, Nuno has not had his press conference yet either. What's interesting from a Liverpool point of view, John, let's switch it over. It is, regardless of who plays, what we have noticed with this Liverpool team at the moment, the shots that we get away and the attack, it doesn't really matter who plays. You know, it does feel like Liverpool are, you know, the unit is working well in terms of creating chances. Whether they take them all the time, who knows? You know, it took them a long time to take them against their Chelsea, for example. Against Luton, they didn't at first, and then they did turn it round. It does feel like that's the key. Liverpool have got a really good solid base, and they are, whoever's playing up front, and we don't know who's going to be here, they're getting loads of chances, whether it's a Diaz or a Gakpo or an Elliot or, you know, young Jadon Dans, whoever is on the pitch seems to be getting themselves in front of goal quite often, which is the positive, really, if you're looking at it. You know, it's the basics of footy, but it does feel like Forest, a team who are conceding a lot of goals, are there for the taking if Liverpool can just be a little bit more clinical than perhaps they have been at times away from home.
Yeah, you've just got to hope whoever we do start up front as that sort of thing, because it's what we've lauded, even though obviously he's injured, it's what we've lauded Jota for, I think, this season, in that in front of goal, he's just ice. You know, he's completely calm and knows where, just does the basics, if you like, but that gives him goals. For us, I think it's like, you know, the midfield, even though they're all different at the minute, you know, in terms of, like, you think of like an Elliott to like an Endo. Sam's right in the sense that what links all of them, I think, is that they all know that when they get on the ball, turn around and go forward, you know what I mean? And they do it in different ways. Obviously, Elliott runs with the ball, but it's they've all, I think, got that sort of confidence now, I think, in terms of, like, everybody's come to the boil at the same time, whether it's McAllister, Endo, Elliott, whoever's playing. And then in terms of the lads who play in front of them, in the attacking line, it's, I've just got to stay calm and they'll get the ball to me. I think we were guilty a little bit early in the season, maybe particularly people like Diaz, of almost coming too deep to get the ball, you know what I mean? And unless we were playing on the break, if you like, it sort of falls a bit because there was no one to play into. But, you know, the team, Forest are a team that aren't necessarily, you know, they're good at breaking quickly, but they're not necessarily a team that's, like, as Sam says, like, going to respond well to the break either. So if you can have someone there who can sort of get the ball out quick, you know, they haven't got a load of lads who are going to get back and make tackles. And if you've suddenly got four or five lads around their area, something's going to happen, whether it's, you know, someone who's in the area one-on-one with the goalie, or whether it's four or five of them and they make something out of it. So you've got to think, with the sort of form everybody's been in over the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks, that whatever combination he puts on the pitch, something will happen, I think.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I suppose I usually start trying to name a Liverpool team here, Sam. It's going to be really difficult because, again, in lieu of injury news, just like, you know, we'll be doing a news reaction show after the press conference. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, for those listening, we'll do a bite-sized podcast as well. We'll recap that a little bit more. So we don't have that information now, but what we can pretty much say is that Liverpool's spine is going to be Kelleher. You know for a fact it's going to be Van Dijk and Kanate open unless something mad's happened between them. They did half duty each the other day. They did half a shift.
Yeah.
Alexis is going to play. And then Gakpo's probably going to play up front, even if Diaz on the left. We'll see.
Robbo was ill,
but he'd be fine.
You'd imagine that, and then he's got. And then I imagine Conor Bradley.
Yeah, I think so
as well. Obviously, Joe Gomez did DM the other day. We'll see how they are. We don't know where we're at with the rest of them. It feels like there's enough there as a starting base.
Yeah,
and that we'll see where everyone else is at. I can't imagine, and we'll see again. Endo, Szoboszlai, Salah, Nunez. We don't really know where they are all in terms of their levels, but it does feel like there's a base there that Liverpool can work off. There's a strong centre through the team, and then the rest of it you can work around a little bit. Liverpool should be quite confident if it is, and again, we don't know, but even if it's McAllister, DM, a spine of Kelleher, Van Dijk, Kanate, McAllister, Gakpo, Diaz, that feels like a good place to go from.
Yeah, it is, definitely. I think as well, if we've got like a relatively weaker side, let's say worst case scenario, none of the three lads are back to start, and you've got no Endo and no obviously Gravenberch, then we have to play the game, obviously in our positive way, but we've got to be smarter. Like there was times against Southampton where we played the Liverpool way at home against Southampton, I understand, but we were exposed. Yeah. And I think, you know, they had a lad on the left, a bit like Alanga, who was quick, low centre of gravity, nipped inside, finishing wasn't up to it, but you could get punished there. I think for me, the team's easy to pick if it's just as you were from the final, Bar Gravenberch. I think even in the final, it was only whether it was Gomez or Bradley starting, really, wasn't it? I think Gomez might play DM if everyone else is fit, because then you can probably play Elliott and McAllister in the 2-8s, and that way you've still got, sorry, you, if Endo's fit, actually then what would you do with Endo? Would you play Gomez, DM and Endo in the 8? I don't know. I'm just wondering, because if with no Gravenberch, you've got Elliott who can't be in two places at once.
I think he would trust Bobby Clark to start.
Wow,
that's a big push
there.
But it's, my question was on Gomez, actually, and I'll come to you with it, John, is that there is a world where, you know, Conor Bradley's been excellent, and no one's a bad word to say about Conor Bradley. There is a chance he might go to Gomez at right back and just say, you know, if their threat is going to come from out wide with pure pace,
yeah,
do you want Joe Gomez, who is lightning and fast, maybe to deal with that? Now, Bradley's been brilliant. He's defended as well as everyone is, but that is an option there. He's played a lot of games as well. He's made a lot of starts. There is a world, perhaps, where he might just go to Gomez and say, you know, go, you play right back, Robbo comes back in at left back, and we are a little bit more solid away from home than perhaps you could be. But that isn't a knock on Conor Bradley at all. I'd be absolutely fine with it. It's just that is an option the manager's got here.
I think a lot of this is obviously going to come down to as well what happens in the game, and I think Sam sort of made the point off air just before we started about sort of the fixtures and like the role and sort of bank of players that you have. I think a lot of this might be like what it was in the cup in the midweek, and that you'll see players maybe get 60 and he'll bring other lads on, so your Endos of this world, your Nunes might not start, but they might come on for sort of 15-20 minutes depending on where the game is, yeah. Thinking ahead, if you like, slightly. Gomez is the same. I mean, it's one of them, you can flip a coin and say he starts the game and then 60 minutes in he brings Bradley on.
There's a world where they both play, because Bradley might end up right wing.
Yeah.
We don't know where we're at fitness wise here as well.
But that was the thing I was going to say, there's a world where he ends up maybe right wing, or there's a world where he ends up sort of right midfield normally. Yeah. Maybe it's one of the eights. He's played in midfield a bit for us as well. So he's got options, and I think it's going to be one of those things where the manager's going to name an 11 or sort of around the spine that you've just named.
Mm.
And there's going to be a lot of lads coming in and out, I think, for sort of 60 minutes here and there, or maybe sort of 50 minutes here and there, and then other lads who are coming back to fitness, if you like, thinking ahead to the game, sort of, you know, coming up, and then obviously the game against City.
Absolutely, and we'll like I say, it's difficult within the absence of news, Sam, but it does feel like, yeah, you know, when you have an injury run like Liverpool are on at the moment, and it's not been great, a lot of them are due back after the international break, so that there's two more Premier League games between them. One of them is absolutely massive against Manchester City, but you've got to make the game against Manchester City massive by being, not, yeah. You know, this just feels like one you've got to just get through. It might be an absolute dog of a game that you just don't even worry about down the line.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember in the title winning season, I think it was when we beat Sheffield United 1-0 and the goalie threw it in.
Yeah.
That's fine. It, that's what this has got to be.
Agreed.
Because Forest, what they have shown at home is a willing, they can keep games close.
Yeah.
They haven't always come out on top, but you know, they pushed Arsenal quite close. They've done a couple of times. They pushed United close the other day, right to the wire. Mm-hmm. It does feel like this one of those games that, you know, you talk about mentality monsters and stuff. There's this, that's the real positive I've got going into this one, is that when this Liverpool side have shown they can get themselves in a dogfight, and they can get themselves out of a dogfight just about on the other end of it, where again I keep referencing back to how an anomaly of last season was.
Absolutely.
That was never the case. It does feel like this side they're up for that challenge, and they're more than willing to fight for it if they have to, and it feels like they might have to.
I think, and it's going to come down to two things, and this is where we fell off last year when we weren't confident, and I was a little bit concerned about Gakpo midweek because I thought his finishing was really worrying.
Yeah.
Is that it's going to come down to if we end up with Endo starter and McAllister and the three big boys on the bench, maybe even one of them starts because they've been just kept back this week. Fantastic, you know, we've got it, we're confident. But if we're not, it's going to come down to this: making silly mistakes at the back. We're giving them a goal, and you think, oh my god, you've just played a back pass to them, a bit like, you know, or we miss three sitters in the first half an hour, then we get beat 1-0. It's got to be one of those games for me, especially if we're weak, where the moments that we're in, we manage in the right way. Van Dijk and Konate are solid, and we take advantage of those opportunities, because Van Dijk missed two sitters against these last year, one on the floor as well. Yeah. I think Carvalho tried to do something daft when he was one-on-one, and we end up just in a position where we were just on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. We end up, it was a very mixed team, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was bizarre.
Yeah, Liverpool had injury again as well. But it is going to be a tough game. Let's have a little look at the league table before we look at the fixtures. And obviously, we know at the top end, Liverpool currently are top of the league. on 60 points. They are 1 point ahead of Manchester City and 2 points above Arsenal. We're up to now, of course, the whole game in hand thing doesn't really count.
Yeah.
It's only really Tottenham in the top five who have got one, and they're not in a title race at this moment in time. Spurs, it's very much a three-horse race at this moment. Down to the bottom, where, of course, which does include Nottingham Forest, our rivals in this game, they are 17th on 24 points, like I mentioned. Luton are on 20 points, but they do have that game in hand against Bournemouth, which is one that they might fancy getting something out of. Of course, Everton have had their points back, which now sees them in 15th.
Everton have got to play Forest and Luton still, haven't they? Yeah,
there's a lot to go down there, but also there's a very good chance Everton and Forest lose more points at some point in the future. So, yeah. So they are really scrapping for this one. It's a massive game for them. In terms of, before we speak about score predictions and stuff, guys, just have a little look around the league in the context of the table, I suppose. Starting at the top, both Manchester City play Manchester United on Sunday on TV. Arsenal go to Sheffield United on Monday. Given the form City look like they're in and how bad Man United look like they might be, I'm not expecting too much, Sam. And I'm not really expecting too much from Sheffield United. Maybe Chrissy Wilder can do something magical. As it stands,
Chrissy.
Yeah, as it stands, Sheffield United are on course to concede more goals than anybody in the they're having a really tough time for Sheffield United. It does feel like they're games that I imagine both of those are going to win.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, anything can happen in those wild games with the bottom. Like, we found it sometimes, you just like in a crazy game 60 minutes in where you're losing 1-0 in the wind and rain, but I would expect Arsenal to come through that, and I think it's important that we win on the weekend, because I think Arsenal's next game at least is quite easy for them, and then they play Brentford at home, which is a winnable game, even though Brentford are a threat with Tony back now, but I would imagine that they'd look to be winning that game as well. So I think the next couple of games for Arsenal are actually games where they'll look to come through, so we want to make sure we stay above them over the next couple of weeks. But it's interesting with the City United game, because if United lose that game, looking at the fixtures that Villa and Spurs have got, it could be curtains for them in terms of their sort of big push for. And what I would say about City is they've looked like you can get at them, you know, even Luton at 1-0 down, and we're creating loads of chances. If United have a game where, you know, the ball sticks to, you know, Rashford's
been out in the press, hasn't he, again this week doing the so maybe he's got a bit of point to
it's play. At City, so I would just expect them to just have another gear.
Well, we saw the other day De Bruyne and Haaland got themselves a good run out. You know what I mean? Like, they got a good run in the legs. John Dindy.
I'd be surprised if De Bruyne starts, actually.
Maybe he doesn't. I mean, Haaland, the fact that they've got him.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Erik ten Hag took umbrage with Jamie Carragher's comments about them against Fulham, but he was right. It's very easy to play against Man United. I know Josh Williams, friend of the show, had been making this point recently, John, that Man United, like 100 shots conceded or something like that. Like,
it's more than 20 shots every
20 game, shots a game, or something's crazy. Yeah. And here comes Erling Haaland. There are very few times I ever want Manchester United Football Club to do well. This weekend's one of them, and I've got no hope for them. And I also don't hold much hope of Arsenal losing to Sheffield or dropping points, because Arsenal are a machine at the moment. It kind of goes back before. Liverpool need to win, because it feels like this is one of those weekends where you just need to hold serve, and we'll look ahead to next weekend when Manchester City come to town. Arsenal get Brentford before then they play City soon as well. They were meant to play Chelsea, obviously that's been postponed with the FA Cup, but it this one where you almost got to hold serve, hope something happens, you don't really expect it, and then the big push comes.
Yeah, you've got to sort of just go under the radar a bit. I think the City, it's the Arsenal game. I think Sam says, like, I can't see any other than Arsenal picking up 3 points. But the City United game for me is always interesting, because United, even though they've been terrible, what feels like, you know, the last 5-6 years, they always seem to do well in derbies, and I don't know why. Even when they were awful, you know, like under Mourinho, under Solskjaer, they've always gone to City or vice versa and seem to do well. So that's one game I had an eye on, where it was a bit like, this is either going to be, it's 5-0 City and is it curtains for Ten Hag, and that's the big story.
Yeah.
Or somehow United pull out a 1-0 and it's a bit like, oh, hell. You know what I mean? But the thing I'm taking from all of it, regardless, is that's going to be the story of the weekend, and therefore we need to go and do our business, and just as you say, fly under the radar, and then make it about those guys, if you like, and have the spotlight on them, and let us just sort of keep going.
Well, and that's the advantage of going first, really, Sam, is that you hold safe, you win, you get yourself the 3 points, and then you say to them, the best you can do is just matches.
It's matches, yeah.
And that's kind of the advantage of going first. And it isn't an early kickoff at 3 o'clock. Mm. You are right. It does feel a little bit different for Liverpool in this regard. I remember that the Forest game last year, it was the early kickoff.
It was half 12, wasn't it? Yeah.
I was in Florida. I got up like 6 a.m. to watch it. And it was just a strange circumstance. It does feel like, who knows? Listen, it's a derby. It is a derby.
This week was actually a bit of an anomaly, wasn't it? Mm. Like Luton took them on, to be fair, and they got caught. But it was Jill Scott? She said on Stick to Football, could be 8-0 this. And you know she was half tongue-in-cheek winding Roy Keane up and Gary Neville, but you know what? Like, she's half right. Like, if City go early in that game, Man United, it could be
if Man United haven't learned the lessons of that, the space between the two lines.
They could whoop them.
Well, that is where De Bruyne or Silva or Foden just feed in that space, and then all they've got to do is play it into Erling Haaland. We know what's going to happen there. You are right, but it is a derby, and who knows? And then on Sheffield, very quickly, John, it's almost last chance saloon for them. Mm. Like if you're looking at, if you know, I was sitting here making a case for how Sheffield United somehow do something against Arsenal, which is very, very difficult to do. Arsenal, the most informed team in the country, and Sheffield United very much aren't. It is almost like it's now or never. We're pretty much gone. Everton have got their points back as well. If you're Chris Wilder, it's almost like it's now or never, because they have been dreadful, Sheffield United.
They're the team, I think, in the league at the minute the most, and Burnley fans might not thank me for this, but I think they're the team in the league at the minute the most who need something. Because I feel like with Burnley, I think there's sort of the acceptance of we've been terrible all year, we're going down, but the manager's not really under threat, and we're going to keep the nucleus of this squad in the Championship that did so well. And if you're looking at Luton, they haven't really got any sort of standout players, if you like, but there's that cohesion, if you like, in terms of team spirit, and they're a bit like, well, we might make it, you know, given the teams above us, we might not, but if we don't, we sort of take that with us kind of thing, and we take the experience. With them, it's a bit like, you look at them and just think, they could go down, as you say, sort of records, goals conceded, but also then, what do you do next season? Like, how do you put that back together in the Championship and go, we're gonna come straight back, and kind of thing, and it's really hard, and to be sort of there in February, you know, it was going into March, now we're in March, but it's hard, isn't it? Because it's trying to put all up and knowing you've got another sort of 10 games or whatever left of the season where you've got to sort of show up and, you know, somehow sell something to the team is just really hard, I think.
The only way you do it, Sam, is law of averages, even the worst teams in the league have that one result a year where Sheffield haven't had that yet because they've been rubbish. They've won 3 games all season. They've conceded 66 goals already.
They almost did at Villa.
Yeah.
And they just last minute that guy got an equaliser.
Exactly.
They
haven't quite had that one where, their goal difference is minus 44. Like, this isn't the time where we should expect anything, other than the fact that it's like, well, maybe they're just due. I don't know.
Do you know what the only thing is with Arsenal is, and this is why I don't think Arsenal win the league this year, and I think they might win the Champions League because of this. When Arsenal are playing well, they're absolutely brilliant. They're fantastic to watch. They're on point. A bit like Tottenham, they're brilliant. They score goals. But when they're not playing well, they don't win games 1-0. Like, even when they beat Luton, they played really well in that game. Luton just had a moment, and then it was 1-0 and so on, and 2-0, whatever. But Arsenal need to play well to win. They haven't got the squad. Saka, when he's poor, doesn't just score like Salah does. Like, we were hammering Salah in the derby and scored 2 goals. They just don't do that. So if Arsenal turn up, have an off day, or get a man sent off, they'll lose that game, or they'll draw that game. If they turn and play well, they'll blitz them. It'll be high goals again. Yeah. But this is what I mean. I would say they're similar to Newcastle. When Newcastle are on it, they're very hard to beat. But when they're not playing well, they can't just win a game. And I think Arsenal are just the best version of that at the moment, and they're playing really well. I fully expect Arsenal to win that game. But there is that like thing with them is where you're half expecting them to wobble still.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Like I say, Liverpool need to get the job done. Get a 63 points and then anything else is an absolute bonus. Stay top of the league, going into that City game, because obviously that's the one where everyone's looking at that big game next week, and we'll see where they're at. Do you think they're going to win at the weekend, John?
I think we should. I think it'll be one of those games where it's a bit like we might also come through it on one wheel, and it's a bit of a 2-1 nail biter, maybe a 3-2 kind of thing, but I do think we win, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking 2-0, 3-1. I actually think I'm confident about the lads coming back into the squad. If they don't, I don't know what's going on. Salah running around doing adverts and that, but you know, but no, I'm confident they're back in the squad this week, and we've got the plan was always to get them there from what I'm told. So I'm hoping that they make an impact and we win the game 2-0, 3-1.
the Jaden Dan show.
I'll go 3-1.
I'm fine with the Jaden Dan show. It's going to be the Jaden Dan show.
Imagine he scores again.
What a week that kid's had. Yeah, who knows? Like, ride that wave, son. Ride that wave. I think we'll win. And I think it might be a 2-0 job done.
Yeah.
To get out of there, save your legs, hope for the best. And then we'll crack first, maybe whatever happens. And then all eyes on the weekend. Right, Sam, thanks very much. Thanks very much to you, John, as well. Like I say, Jürgen's press conference is at 12:30 UK time. We'll react to that with a news update show straight after it. And of course, a bite-sized podcast. So yeah, we'll have more on the likes of Salah and Endo and Nunes and the 55 other million players that currently don't play football for Liverpool that hopefully will soon be playing footy for Liverpool. Do come and join us for the watch along for the game as well. The kickoff is 3 PM UK time, like I say. So we'll be live at 1:45 with the uncensored match build up. We'll react to the team news where hopefully some of those lads are in it, and then at 2:45 we'll be live with the watch along as well. That is over on the YouTube channel. So thanks very much for watching, thanks for listening, have a great weekend, and hopefully the Reds enjoy a successful trip down to Nottingham. See you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.